Siman Yud Ches, which is on Amud Ayin Vav, Kavana B'Shechita. So Shulchan Aruch Paskins in Siman Gimel, Shechita Aschulin Eino Tzricha Kavana. We don't need any Kavana when we Shecht Chulin. The requirement of Kavana is limited to Shechita Aschulin. And the Mechaber goes a step further. He says, "Afilu misasik bialma lachtoch." He was trying to cut something, and accidentally cut the two simanim kshera. It's a perfectly valid shchit. Now let's see if we can find some sort of a source, by analogy at least, for the halacha that we don't require shchit kavan. We have a Gemara in Chulin, and the Gemara wants to know what happens in a case where a woman goes into the mikvah to be metaira herself, and she has no kavana. Itmar, Chulin daf lamed aleph omed aleph. If you have a Gemara Chulin, please open up. Nida shenensa v'tovla. Somebody forced her into a mikvah, literally pushed her in. Could happen in the ocean, let's say. Omer Rabbi Yehuda Marav, Tahora Lebesa, V'Asura Lechol Betruma. So according to Rav, the Tvila without Kavana was effective, but only to remove the Isra Labaila. As far as her state of Tara is concerned, she's still Tmeya, and therefore she's enjoined from eating Truma. Let's say she's married to a Kohen, or she's a Bas Kohen. Rav Yochanan Amar, Af Lebesa Lo Tara. Rav Yochanan says that even as far as resuming her relationship with her husband, the tefillah doesn't work, it's not valid without Kavana. It means that there are two dinim in Nida. One is Tuma, and one is Isa Labaila. Tuma belongs to the laws of Tuma Vitara, and Isa Labaila belongs to Isure Bia. And they're not interdependent. The Isa Labaila does not depend upon the din of Tuma. And therefore Rav insists that even though as far as Tuma is concerned, Legabi Truma, she still remains Tmeya, but as far as Labesa is concerned, Isa Labaila, she's no longer Asur Labaila in that one act of Tefillah, which was without Kavana. Now, there's a Tosfos in Bava Kamma on Daf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph, Divrei Maskil De'Ein, and he says there, the Gemara says that there's a principle called Yesh Mitzah Shilya below Vlad, which means that it's possible that even though some of the placenta came out, nevertheless there's no Vlad inside. Umemela, the Gemara says, Im Yotzasa Mitzah Shilya Biyom Rishon Umitzah Shilya Biyom Sheni, then the Gemara says that she can count Yud Dalid Yemei Tuma from the first Yitzia of Mikzah Shilya. And the Gemara establishes that the Domim Shaisa Roa Biyom Tes Vav, after she counts 14 days, Hayu Tahorim. Why? Mimanafshach. Shemi Yotza Rov HaVlad B'Yom Rishon. If the Vlad came out on the first day, then she becomes Tahora after 14 days, and any Dam she sees is Dam Toha. V'Afilim Tim Tzaloma She Yotza Rubo B'Yom Sheni. Even if she had some sort of a birth on the second day, and therefore her Tumah would extend one more day, Shema Zacharhu V'Eina Metame El Zayin Yomim. So it works like this. A woman's dam, if she gives birth to a baby boy, is Tahora after the seventh day, on day 8, if she gives birth to an akeva, then her dam is dam tomei for 14 days, and the first dam tor is on the 15th day. So the Gemara now applies a law of suffix. And the Gemara says that in a case where we don't know whether the birth was on the first day or on the second day, then mimanafshach, we could allow her dam to be tar after 14 days pass. Why? Because if we could assume she had a birth on the first day of these 2 days, then we counted 14 days, and even if we assume she gave birth to an akeva, again we can't tell, nevertheless the dam is dam tar on the day 15. Ella what? We have to be choshesh, maybe she gave birth to a zachar. In which case, mimanafshach, adarabah, then the dam is tar, even after day 7. So I'll read it one more time. I am reading yesh miktas shilya below vlad. So we don't know, in the case of miktas shilya, she had a miktas shilya on Yom Rishon, she had a miktas shilya on Yom Sheni, so we have no way of knowing when she had a birth, because the Leda is not necessarily proven or established based on Mitzah Shilya, because Yesh Mitzah Shilya below Vlad. So in essence, we don't know if she gave birth on the first day Yom Rishon or on the second day Yom Sheni. So Gemara establishes, so Feres Yudalid Yemei Tumah, she calculates from the first day 14 days of Yemei Tumah, and any dam she sees on the 15th day is dam tar, mimanafshah. Even if we assume that the leda took place on the second day, not on the first day, we could add another element to the equation, that maybe, right, and again, if the birth took place on the second day, then it's not enough to wait till the 15th day, you'd have to wait till the 16th day. But no. Even if I'll assume that the leda took place on the second day, we can still apply the principle of Shema Zachar. So Tosfos says, wait a minute, what do you mean Shema Zachar? We have a principle, Safek Tumah Reshus HaYachid Sfeiko Tameh. And even though in this case you can add another Safek, that not only do we not know whether she gave birth to a girl or a boy, but we also don't know which of the 2 days she gave birth on, so it's possible she gave birth on the first of those 2 days. So we have two logical reasons that would lead us to the same conclusion, that the dam on the 15th day is tar. One conclusion is because she gave birth on the first day, and even if she gave birth to a girl, she becomes tahora on the 15th day. When I say she becomes tahora, I mean the dam is dam tar. And if in the worst case scenario she gave birth on the second day, maybe the child is a zachar, and therefore the dam is already tahor after the seventh day. So Tosfos asks the question, but wait a minute, we have a principle of safik tumah reshus hayachid. And in the case of safik tumah reshus hayachid, no matter how many sfeikas that you have, we're always going to go l'chumra. And we're going to say, kol sfeikas shatamar b'reshus hayachid kulam sfeikam tamen. So now I have two sfeikas to tell me that she's tar, but it took place in the privacy of her room, and that's a reshus hayachid. So Tosfos gives the following answer. Says Tosfos, safek tumah reshus hayachid sfeiko tamei, that's only in a case of tumah. But here we talk about isur labayla, where this dam is dam nida. So when we use the word dam tome, we mean dam nida li isola bailo. And yesh la hakel b'mokom svek sveka. So when we get the dam on day 15, we can assume that it's dam tahar, and she could go back and live with her husband. And what gives me that right? Svek sveka. Because mimanafshah. It could be one something that she gave birth to a girl on the first of those 2 days. And even if I assume she gave birth on the second of the 2 days, it could be that she gave birth to a boy. And Sveka, we could be Mekil as far as Isa Labaila is concerned. As far as Tumah is concerned, we're going to have to assume that she has Tumah, because Kol Sveika Shatayoch La'arbos Bishus HaYochid is Kulam Tomei. So on the one hand she's Tomei, on the other hand she's not Tomei. As far as Isur L'Baila is concerned, she's not Asur L'Baila, and we can assume that the Dam is a Dam Tor. Even though as far as Tumah, we're going to assume that she's Tmeah because of Kol Sveikos Bishus HaYochid. So let's go back to the Gemara in Chulin on Daf Lamed Aleph. Nida Shenensa V'Tovla. So we don't know what our status is. And now we have two questions. Number one, was the Tefillah valid to remove her Tumah? And number two, was the Tefillah valid to remove the Yisur L'Baila? And Rav says we split the two. Tahora lebeisa, but asura lechol truma. As far as tuma is concerned, she needs kavana, and she was thrown into this mikvah against her will. But as far as labaila, isa labaila is concerned, we don't need any kavana. And that's why the Shulchan Aruch says shchitas chulin eina tzricha kavana. Somehow, the Shulchan Aruch applies the following analogy, that just like in Iser V'Heter of Mikvah, of Tvila, we're going to assume that Kavana is irrelevant, and even Nensa, she's Muteris Labaila. So Kavana, as far as creating a Heter of Nida, Labaila, is irrelevant, it's unnecessary. So too, to be Matir Basar through Shechita, in the case of Chulin, is Kavana, is unnecessary. V'nire, D'le'inyan Tara Mituma, if you're talking about Mikvah for the sake of Tara, in order to allow her to eat Truma, Hakol Modim, even Rav would agree that Be'inon Kavana L'Tvila, that Tvila could only remove her state of Tuma and allow her to eat Truma if she has Kavana. Otherwise, it's not a Tvila HaMetaheres. Lo Nechleku Rav Rab Yochanan, Elo Le'inyan Iser Le'Baila, Dele Rav Lo Tzar Kavana, the Ilu Rabbi Yochanan Tzar Kavana. Wow, this is a radical reinterpretation of the Machlokas in Chulin between Rabbi Yochanan and Rav. Rav would agree to Rabbi Yochanan that without Kavana, she cannot achieve Tahara. Maybe that's not so radical, because Rav himself says Asura Lechol B'Truma. Okay, so now we get to Tvila Hamateres. So Tvila Hamateres, everybody agrees you need Kavara, but Tvila Hamateres, to allow her to resume her relationship with her husband, Rav says she doesn't need Kavana. Kavana is only a requirement in Tuma, but not in Heter L'Baila. And Rabbi Yochanan says that even Lahatir Ho L'Baila, we must have Kavan. The Rav says the following. Hayim Estaber Lomar De Hochinami Nechleku Le'inyan Shechita. Like, just like Rav says that you don't need kavana to be matir a nida labaila, a tvila is effective, so too in shechita lahatis abasar, Rav is going to say you don't need kavana. That's according to Rav. I'm not sure that we paskin like Rav. Do you have a Gemara Chulin Lamed Aleph? Hmm. If you have a Gemara Chulin Lamed Aleph Amid Beis, I'm sorry, Lamed Aleph Amid Aleph, perhaps you can do a little research for me. I'm curious to know how we paskin in the Machlokas Rav and Rabbi Yochanan. He doesn't, I don't know, he doesn't seem to mention that here. So let's take a look at the following. Hayim istaber lomar, the hachinami nechleku linyan shchita, ibeine kavana, kedei lahatir esa isur, right, abeimah b'chaya b'zcheskas isur omedes, call it Avram and Achai, call it Nevela, whatever it might be. So now the Shechita has to be matir those Isurim, and do you need Kavod in the Shechita? Depends on the Machlokas Rav and Rabbi Yochanan. Elo, Diba Gemara Sham, again we're back to Chulin, Daf Lamed Aleph, but here we're flipping to Amid Beis, Mevura de Le'inyan Shechitas Chulin, Af Rabbi Yochanan Moda de Lo Tzarech Kavona. Oh, this is important. It could be that Tvilo Hamateres Lebaila requires Kavan according to Rabbi Yochanan, but Shechita Hamateres Isur Avram and Achai, even according to Rabbi Yochanan, does not need Kavan. The Rabbi Yochanan Tzavar, the Kavana, Tzar Kavana Lechol Matir Chutz Mishchita Schulin. Wow. So it could be, Rabosai, that if you open up the Daf Lamed Aleph in Chulin and you research it properly with the Ein Mishpat and so forth, you might come to the conclusion that we paskin like Rab Yochanan, which means that Tfila Ba'ones, right, she was forced into the mikvah, is not only a Shitmeya, right, Latuma, Latruma, but she is Eina Muteris Labail. I'm not sure if that's so. Maybe you could research for that for me. If you come to that conclusion, then how could the Shulchan Aruch Paskin here in Shechita that Shechita Schulin does not require Kavana? So the Rav says that according to Gemara Chulin, even Rabbi Yochanan would agree in the case of Shechita that you don't need Kavana. In contrast, in the case of Tvila, Tvila needs Kavana, and Shechita does not. We're talking about Issur Heter now. So what's the logic for that distinction? He says, Rabbi Yochanan Tzavitzar Kavana, Lechol Matir Chutz Mishchitas Chulin. And why is Chulin the exception to the rule? He says, Demi de Goli Rachmana, Demisasek Bekodshim Posul, Shmamino de Bechulin lo be'inan kavana. So every matir needs kavana. Yeah, I'm wondering, thinking out loud about Netilus Yadayin for Suda. Could be there's an Iser of Achilas Pas without Netilus Yadayin. I don't know. That's an invention. So it could be that when he dips his hands in, he has to have kavana. This could be very relevant. I mean, you could have many cases where a person, you know, washed his hands, and then he decides to eat a pas. Would he be allowed to eat a pas? So if you gentlemen will research this issue and come to the conclusion that we paskin like Rabbi Yochanan, that tvila needs kavana, but the exception is going to be Shechitas Chulin. Why? Because of Halacha Misasek B'Kodshim. In the case of a Behemas Kodesh, Bar Zvicha, you bring it to the, you know, the Beis HaMikdash, you know, you sanctified it as a korban, you brought it to Beis HaMikdash, and the Gemara says the Shechita requires Kavanah. Now, in order to know what that means, we'd have to learn Masechta Zvachim. let's assume, just for the sake of Lisaber to Ozen, that what that means is that you have to have kavana b'shchitas kodshim. You don't have to have kavana for the specific zevach, because it says kol hazvachim shenizbuchu shelo lishma ksherim. But you do have to have kavana that it's a shchitas kodshim. If somebody would fool the kohen and convince him that this is a behemas chulin, and he shechted it as such, that would not be kosher. That would passel the korban. It would be like shalolishma. I'm sorry. It would be like lachizmano. Well, okay, those are cases where you chayit. All right, forget it. That's too complicated. But you need kavana for shchitas kodesh. Now the Gemara derives that from Yalfus's special psukim. And now we're going to say the fine mita gali rachmana dimis asik bekodshim posel. He thought he was operating with chulin, and he's shechting the chulin, and it's posel as a carbon. He didn't realize it was kodshim. Shma mina de bechulin lo beinon kavana. The Torah went out of its way to tell us that misasek bekodshim is posel, implying that misasek bechulin is kosher. So you have two shochtim. Each one is shechting a behemah. If you took a camera and you took a picture of them, they're identical. One is posel and one is kosher. How so? Because one is shechting kodshim and the other is shechting chulin. The one is shechting kodshim shechted it by misasek. He was totally unaware of the fact that he was shechting kodshim. Posel. The one who was shechting chulin had no kavana l'shem shechita, and yet it's kosher. Why? Because shechita doesn't need kavana. Hence the Mechaber Paskins here in Siman Gimel, shechita shulin eina tzricha kavana. Afilu misasik bi'alma lachtoch is kshera. Let me read to you the language of the Shulchan Aruch that I do have. The only problem is it's gigantic. My Shver Tzang Gesund bought me this who remembers MP Press. If you dropped it on your foot, you would have to get a cast. I mean, it's so heavy. And he says the following. Just 1 second. Where are we? Oh, in Siman Gimel. I'm sorry. I opened up the Siman Beis. Shchitas chulin eina tzricha kavana. Afilu misasek b'yama lachtoch. Oh, here's another case. Oshe zorak sakin. He was playing daggers. And he shoots a sakin against the wall. Lenotz of a kosel. V'shachat kilchosa. I know exactly how you turn the animal upside down and he shechs the two simonim while he's throwing a knife at the wall. Kshera. Everything's kosher. We don't need kavana l'shem shechita. But in kodshim, if he were to throw a knife and it happened to cut the two simonim of a behemas ola or whatever kodshim it was, psula. Because the Torah was mechadesh, and we derive this from sukim, that misasek b'kodshim is shechitaso psula. Implying that misasek bechulin is shchitas kshera, and that's even according to Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says that for every matir I need kavana, for example tefilas nida, but not in the case of the matir of basa. All I need is a maisa shchita kshera without any kavana. He simply is playing this game of daggers. Now, if you ask me why this is so, that's a more complicated question. What is unique about shechita, in the case of chulin at least, that you don't need kavana?
Could you say that the reason is that in shechitas kodshim, there's always a purpose for it? Somebody's being, you're being motzi someone in a mitzvah, that they have to bring this korban, or it's a korban tzibur, and you're doing this for the sake of the tzibur, then you're doing shitas chulin, it doesn't make any difference.
Yosef, I agree with you 1,000%. The only thing is you're answering a different question. I asked a different question. My question was, what's the difference between tvila in the case of Asura Levaila Venida and the case of Shechita in the case of Avram and Achai or Nevela, whatever you want to call the Issa? In other words, if Rabbi Yochanan's principle is that a matir needs kavana l'shem matir, why don't we apply that principle to be matir the Issa Basa? So again, you'll answer me, it's Xeris HaKosov. And that's fine. Perhaps you can add a little bit more. That in Avram and Achai, or Nevela for sure, what we need is a Maisa Shechita. In other Matirim, we need a Maisa Matir. Again, I'm not giving you a philosophical answer, but in terms of the way, the mechanics of the way Halacha operates, there's something called a Maisa Matir, and then there's something called a Maisa Greda, a Maisa Bialma. A Maisa Bialma means it's a mechanical act. It's just a mitzir, it's nothing more. But a Matir, that needs Kavan. You want to upgrade the action and the reality to that of a Matir, you want to play around with Isurim and change Isurim. For that, you have to upgrade the mice. Shechita, all you need is a mice itself. I can't tell you why, but the Torah says all you need is a mice of shechita. You threw a knife, you are aiming for the wall, you shechted to simonim, that's called a mice of shechita. The Gemara has a klar in chulin, what happens if you have a knife that's here, the animal is here, and you remove the bidka demaya, and as a result of removing the bidka demaya, the water carries the knife, and it shechs the animal. Is that called a Maisa Shechita? That's going to be the next topic that we want to cover. We had this in the army, I remember, when I was in Tzal. We couldn't get a kli for Netilas Yadayim. So we opened up the faucet. We put our hands under the faucet. That's a real Shiloh. Because basically when you open up a faucet, you're removing a barrier and the water falls through. It's in the pipes. And that's really this sugya in Chulin about Shechita. But be it as it may, whatever constitutes a Maisa Shechita, that's enough. The animal is considered Shachut. Once the animal is Shachut, then the heter flies away. You don't have to be matir. You're not the person who's in charge and responsible to creating the heter. Your responsibility is just to create a maisa shechita, a mechanical maisa shechita. It's like, what should I say, nizikin. I don't have to have kavana that this maisa hezek is, you know, when I beat you up, is going to be a maisa chavola. Or if I beat up your cow, it's a maisa mazik. The mitzius makes it into maisa mazik. As long as it's my action, that's a maisa. And now I have to suffer the repercussions. I have to pay you for damages. But when the Torah requires a maisa matir, that's already a ritual, to change heter into, change isur into heter, then you have to upgrade your maisa to a maisa matir. What is the catalyst to do so? What is the agent? That's kavana. Kavana will change, upgrade the action itself. In Kodshim, I would have said logically that all you need is a Maisa Shechita. But as Yosef points out very well, there's a lot more going on over here. You want to be Maratza the Karban, L'shem Bailov, then you should have a Kapara. And you want to be Mekayim the Mitzvah of Shechitas Kodshim. And what shall I say? You know, you want to make sure there's no machsheves pigul or machsheves chutzus vana chutzum komo. There are a lot of things going on in Shechitas Kodshim. You're accomplishing a great deal. That elevates Shechitas Kodshim to a level of a ritual that requires kavana. It's not just a maisa shechita. And that's derived from Sukkim. In a sense, Shechitas Kodshim now becomes the paradigm, according to Rabbi Yochanan, for any Shechita that's a matir. Just like in Kodshim, you need a Shechita HaMechaperes, that it generates, that it engenders a kapara, Again, you need three other avodos, but you need shechita as the first. So you're changing the nature of the shechita from a maisa greda, a mechanical act, to a maisa hamakadesh, a maisa hamachaper. So too in matir, I need a special ritual, a special agency to upgrade my shechita to the level of a shechita materis. And for that we need kavon. Now here I would ask a question, which again might depend upon gzeiras hakosam. Aisha nicknames b'shlosha drachim. B'kesef b'shtaru b'biyah. Certainly that biyah needs kavana. He didn't fall from a roof and he was mekadesh an isha. But what about the case of Yibum? Does the mitzvah of Yibum require kavana? Because what happens now as a result of the mice of Bia, she becomes Asurali Alma Keishas Ish. Till now she's Asurali Alma Midin Zkuka. Zkuka Vomedes. Okay, Zika. Zika is very powerful. I mean, it might be an Isukares, it might be an Isulav. Machlokas Rav and Shmuel, fine. But the increment, the discrepancy between Zika and Eishes Ish, which is accomplished, effectuated by the Bia, that's a major distinction. And if somebody has relations with her after the Yavam does, he's Chayav as an Eishes Ish. For Bia's Eishes Ish. The Gemara says in Yevamos that Yibum doesn't require Kavana. Ad kedei kach, the Gemara has a case where they convince the Yavam that through the Bia he's mater to marry anyone else. Just the opposite of what Yibum is all about. Yibum is meant to make her into an Eishes Ish, and they fool him. You know, they flash lights in his eyes in the middle, and they could tell him that you have to be Boela because that Bekacha Tomatira. That's how she becomes Muteris. The Gemara says that it's Yibum. The Yibum is valid. Still, you see, you don't need Kavana. And Tosa has a case where he falls off a roof and he's Boiler and she's his Yavama. I mean, again, how that happens, I can't orchestrate it, but it happened to happen that way. We had no Kavana whatsoever. So it seems that in Yibum, all I need is a Maisa Bia. I don't need Das, I don't need Kavana. No Batir. Just a Maisa Bia. What's a Maisa Bia? Is it Tchiles Bia, Sof Bia? That you have to know. We paskin that Ha'ora, the Tchiles Bia is a Bia. That's enough to make her into an Eishes Ish. All he needs is a Maisa Bia. We don't need Kavana. But again, that might be different because there it's a Maisa Ha'oser and not a Maisa Ha'matir. When does Rabbi Yochanan say that Umitum we always require Kavana for a Maisa that's only a Maisa Ha'matir? But he would agree that a Maisa Ha'oser you don't need Kavana. And that would be the case of Yibu. Now let's read a little bit weiter in the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch says, "Afilu hipil hasakin biyado o biraglov shaloba kavana klal v'shachat shchitoso ksheira." Imagine the following scenario: he's got a very sharp knife, in this case a chalafa of shchita, lying on a table. And accidentally, he pushes it, or he, right? He peel asakin. The animal, again, it's very hard to imagine the orchestration of it, but the animal is somewhere on the bottom there, on the floor, I don't know what, and the sakin falls on the animal. Or he peel baraglov. You know, he was kicking the table, and he accidentally kicked the knife, and the knife fell in shechtiv. Shelo b'kavana klal. Vishachat shchitoso ksheira. However, nafla mi'atzma, if he puts a knife on the table and it falls, he's then psul. So imagine these two cases, they're so similar to each other. One is where a knife falls from a table, and the other where is he drops the knife. In the first case, the shechita is psula, the knife fell, not because, by virtue of his action or his he wasn't the goreim. It's nothing, it's worthless, we need koach gavra. In the second case, there was no kavana whatsoever, but there was koach gavra. He pushed the knife off the table with his hand, with his foot, and the shechita is a valid shechita. So the gun, if we have time, I'd read it to you inside, but just for brevity, the gun quotes the Ra'ah. And the Ra'ah says that in shechita we require kol gavra, v'lo mikri kol gavra, el kshenase maisa l'shem tachlis, ezu tachlis. Dahainu shahoysa kavanoso l'koldu, l'maisa koldu. So the Ra'ah is saying that whenever you require kol gavra, you require kavana. But what kind of kavana? He says, kavanas maisa koldu, a very ambiguous kind of terminology. The omnam lotzar kavara shchita. See, I'm a little confused here because the lashon of the Shulchan Aruch was nafla, right? Nafla. Wait a second. I stopped prematurely. Im haya sakin munach becheiko obiyado v'nafla miyado omicheiko. If you imagine, he has a knife in his chest, he's sitting down, and all of a sudden he stands up, and the knife goes flying. Or he's holding a knife in his hand and he drops the knife. Shaloba kavana, havi kinafla me'atzma. Remember the case we had before where it fell off the table. Upsula, and the shechita is invalid. Let's go back to the Ra'ah for a minute. The Ra'ah says that whenever we need koach gavra, we need some sort of kavana koldu, kavana smaisa koldu. The lo tzar kavana shechita, aval tzar kavana smaisa. So if you require koach gavra, you have to have kavana for the maisa. So for example, in the case of Yibu, if we use that as a paradigm, if I told the Yavam that Bekachata Konsa, then it would be a good Yib. Why? Because he had Kavanas Maisa. But in a case where he falls off a roof, then it would not be, again, using this paradigm, it would not be a Yib because he doesn't have Kavanas Maisa. We need Kol Gavra, and that's not Kavanas Maisa. So if the knife falls out of his hand and shechs, that's not called Kavanas Maisa. But if on the other hand he drops the knife, albeit not for the sake of shechita, then he had kavanas maisa. Shenafla asakin miyado me'eleha. Wait, one second. Well, what did we say again? Let's go over this. One case he shechts. The other case he puts a knife on the table and it falls off. A third case was he pushes the knife off the table and lo and behold he shechts without any kavana. And then there's a fourth case of nafla miyado. And the Mechaber says nafla miyado is psula. Why? Because havi nefila sasak miyado meileh belishum kavana l'shem maisa. He doesn't have kavana for any maisa. is then it's not called Kol Gavra, and therefore the Shechita is Psula. So he has to ask Kavana for some Maisa. You know, if he wants to drop the knife on the floor, that's called Kavanas Maisa, if the knife falls and Shechs to Simonim. But if the knife falls out of his hands without any deliberate intention, then he doesn't even have Kavanas Maisa. So the Gaon says that according to the Ra'ah, you need Kavanas Maisa, not Maisa Shechita. He's totally unaware or disinterested in Shechita, but he has Kavana for the Maisa that ended up to be a Maisa Shechita. And that's called Kaakav. So let me ask you the question about Tvila B'mikvah that we discussed earlier. Do you need Koach Gavra? I understand that there's a machlokas between Rav and Rabbi Yochanan Chulin Lamed Aleph about a case where she didn't have Kavana. And Rav says she's Muteris Labaila without Kavana. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, a Matir needs Kavana. But let's go according to Rav. Rav says you don't need Kavanas Tvila. But does she have to have at least Kavanas Maisa Tvila? She might not need Kavana L'Shem Tvila. Maybe she thinks she's jumping into a swimming pool and she's taking a nice jumping into the ocean. You know, she likes the waves. But there at least, there was Kavanas Maisa Tvila. What happens if she falls from the heavens into a mikvah? The Gemara says, in Chulin, if you have the Gemara, you see it inside. The Gemara says, Itmar nida shenensa v'tavla. It seems to me, again, maybe I'm wrong here, that nensa means she was thrown into the mikvah. Is Mamela, if she was thrown into the mikvah, she doesn't even have kavanas maisa, which means there's no kogavra. If I'm correct, then here's another fundamental difference here. According to Rabbi Yochanan, we said there was a difference between Tvila and Shechitas Chulin, that in Tvila, Rabbi Yochanan requires Kavana, and in Chulin he doesn't. But we said according to Rav, there's no distinction. But now I want to suggest that there's a distinction. In Chulin you need Kavanas Maisa in order to generate Koach Gavra. In Tvilas Mikvah, you don't even need Kavanas Maisa. There's no din of Koach Gavra, which means a woman who's inside a mikvah becomes Tahora Labaila. How did she get into the mikvah? Gave me nisht on it. I couldn't care less. The Malach Avriel threw her into the mikvah. Somebody pushed her over the ledge. That's pretty way out. So if we go back to the Gemara in Chulin on Daf Lamed Aleph on his base, Hechi Domi Nida Shenensa V'Tavla Merapapa the Rav Nosson Shenofla Menageser Ularabonon Sheyarda Lehikair. So she wanted to cool off. So according to Chachamim, she actually fell. According to Rapapa, according to Chachamim, she went down. So basically, the Machlokas is whether or not Tvila requires Kavanas Maisa, which really means whether or not you need Kol Gavra. So, Blineta, that's something that we'd want to look at in Mirtz Hashem next week.